And you can change your pulse rate, your vitality, you could tap all of the video, but you can just strike that balance.
Good afternoon, I'm the Muslim Women's Resource Center. How can I help?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, no problem. I'll transfer the car. Like, can you take this and post it in? Why? The actual.
Support's not linear and the journey's not linear, so we will find women going through a whole cycle every day of realisation, reconciliation, back to realisation, back to being back to square one, and hopefully trying to break that cycle of violence.
And each woman has their own threshold, so it will vary person to person, depending on their nature, temperament, what the intensity of the abuse as well.
Yeah, so for patriarchy, it really is a system and society and structures designed with male dominance, and that to me and to everyone, that's what defines patriarchy. But what does patriarchy really look like for BME women? And do we understand what patriarchy really is? I know that a lot of people will say, well, that's patriarchy, it's patriarchal structures. But I have to be honest, when I heard that saying many, many years ago, I didn't quite get it. And it's taken me years in this community and to work in this sector to understand what the patriarchy really is. And I think that's a lot to do with BME women in our education and growing up in our society. We've never really talked about the patriarchy within our community. So I think when I'm thinking about my experiences of coming out and working in the violence against women sector and everyone saying that's the patriarchy, I was, what does that mean? How does that look? And it was a big realization of that you've got this one word, patriarchy, and that really was that everything was designed for almost the advantage of men. And then the harder realization to realize that actually you were in possibly the most rigid patriarchal structure than anywhere else, and that you didn't even recognize that.
So the patriarchal term is something that's been probably something I came across through my line of work, but as a young girl, I would say I probably saw it rather than not knowing what it meant. So as a young girl, I used to always think, why is it there's a different rule for the men or for the boys and a different rule for girls? So for example, as a young girl, I wasn't allowed to go out and stay out late, but the boys were allowed to stay out and no one questioned them about it. Or a simple thing is, the girls were taught we have to be, you know, really good in the kitchen and learn how to cook and learn how to run the house and wash the dishes and, you know, do all the kind of the mundane things, but the boys can just sit at home and not have to do anything. But I came from a house of girls, so I didn't see that within my family, but when I saw it with my cousins, you know, they could just, the cup could be lying, someone will be around doing that for them. So that was actually patriarchy, me witnessing it as a young girl and seeing it. And I used to always think, how this is so unfair, but I didn't know what the term meant or what it was, or that we were living this, that was just the norm, that was, we were just told that's what it is, this is what girls do, this is what women do, and that's it, and that's the way it is. And religiously, I didn't know enough myself to know that that's not what the religion says. And society reinforced everything around. So whether you're in school, whether you're at work, as I got older, it was the same thing, that the world and the structure we live in is designed as a patriarchal system.
I think when
I first heard the term, this was way before, and again, maybe when I was a bit younger as well, is at first I actually thought the term was used as a negative thing towards BME or Muslim people. So I used to think, is that another word that they've labelled to make us seem like we're the bad kind of archaic people? But then when I started to really understand and unpick the term, I was like, it sat with me thinking that this is actually something that I'm really familiar with. And it's only really by understanding that this is the structure that we can really kind of find a way to break through that. And I would say I have very similar experiences in where in the house, it was almost like I was trained, and it's not just myself, but my friends and things who come from a similar background, that we're trained to be wives from a very young age, while the men are trained to be the kind of people who are going to be looked after but also have the ultimate say. So that was something that I grew up with, and a lot of my friends grew up with as well.
About patriarchy and realising that actually the structures and systems would always benefit men, and it's about realising that we're always put in that box, but it's really to further the advancement of men and leave what your ambitions and drives etc. are there for. So I think that's for me, realising that actually everything that we were doing, or the kind of the way you were being asked to maybe be raised by other people, was really putting men at the advantage. You know, men got to eat first, men always get to pray in the mosques and have like the better seating area or whatever, because it's always centred around them. And I think that to me is the patriarchy, you know, and that is about how does this benefit the men first rather than the women are always the afterthought. Misogyny is a really difficult one, I think, for everyone. What does misogyny actually look like? And I think with the Scottish Government wanting to define misogyny a bit more, I think they've been on this whole journey about what is misogyny. Some people would just see it as a complete contempt for women and complete disrespect for women, you know, not really seeing them as anything, a hatred for women even. Some people would say that is misogyny as well, always thinking that, you know, you're better than women and that they don't really have much of a standing maybe in society or within your life. So that can be misogyny defined, and it's really difficult because I think I've been on this journey about what does misogyny look like within our communities, you know, and it's really there, you know, it's really ingrained in everything to the point that you don't even realise that this is misogyny. You'll just see it as everyday life. And I think that's about unpicking about what is misogyny for BME women, and how do we combat that within AMNA. It's really just about continuing to empower women. But we're going on this journey now to actually think about misogyny about BME women, and what does misogyny look like, and how do we define that, and how do we make sure that when the Scottish Government is thinking about misogyny laws as hate crime or whatever, that it takes into account what does misogyny look like. But the thing is with misogyny, it's very difficult. It's like institutional racism, isn't it? It's difficult to define. It looks different for everyone, and it's difficult to prove. It's so intrinsic in society, you cannot always prove that that's misogyny. And that's why I think we're all struggling with misogyny is there, but how do we show it? How do we prove it? So, and that's the journey that we're going to be on with AMNA, is to make them recognise what is, think about misogyny, recognise misogyny, call misogyny out, and then hopefully we can unpick it and undo it as well within communities.
unfortunately then for you? What would, again, trying to find that imaginative utopia, what is the opposite of that then?
I think for me, the opposite of misogyny would be about respecting women and making sure that women are, you know, equals within society. That's the only thing that could be the opposite of misogyny for me.
Oh, love.
Yeah, and love. Love for women as well, and realising that we are life. We are the life givers. We are there, the nurturers of the community. But also, women are just absolutely amazing, strong, intelligent people. And, you know, thinking about even just like our periods and our hormonal phases, what we need to go through every week to week, you know, from starting our periods to ending our periods to, you know, menopause to perimenopause. Oh my God. And the fact that we have to do all of that and carry out everyday, you know, everyday kind of tasks. You know, for example, menopause, I never realised how that really impacts so many women. So I think the opposite of misogyny will also be a society where that kind of wraparound support is there for women and our needs. That's it. So,
let me
just, I'm sure we know it.
Yeah, so hope, umid.
Empowerment, ikhtiyar.
Is it respect?
Pyar.
Mohabbat.
Love. Mohabbat.
Hausla.
Hausla.
Is support. Encouragement.
Say that again.
Khushi. Joy. Happiness.
What's peacefulness?
Sukoon. Peace.
But also these are things that I'm going to do, you know, and it's really important for those people to know that's hopefully what they'll find here.
But we're so sometimes in the firefighting stage that sometimes it's difficult to pause, concentrate on the positive, because what we have is like the long-term goals, and sometimes you're too busy thinking, you're too busy in the patriarchy and whatever, you're seeing all these domestic
fighting abuse.
So when you're asking us like what are the positive words,
what's equality?
Equality, I'm pretty sure I use the word all the time. But feminism really is about fighting for equality and letting women have a voice and say in what their life is, autonomy in their own body, autonomy in their own life, who they want to marry, who they don't want to marry, you know, and it's about their choices. And I think feminism is really about looking at that.
Yeah, I think I personally struggled with the term feminism for a long time because I saw it as a term that was for white women. And it was something that I had heard a lot when I was younger about, like, for example, wearing the headscarf, and me wearing the headscarf, or you're oppressed, it's a symbol of oppression. And that was said by fellow women, as well as men, but very strongly by women, oh, this is a symbol of oppression. And that kind of then shut me off from the term. And I was like, well, they're not going to accept me for who I am and the choices I make. It actually takes a really strong woman to make those choices, and you're the one who's taking that choice away from me, so therefore you're not actually the feminist and I am. But because I was so cautious of being lumped with those women, I actually stopped using the term. I you know, I was very for equal rights for women, and that was something that I campaigned for and advocated for, but I struggled with actually calling myself a feminist for that reason. And true feminism, in my opinion, reflects and celebrates a choice that a Muslim woman has, BME woman has, but also takes account their needs. And so something that I see within feminism is white feminists having superiority over BME women feminists. And it's like, well, actually, there's something wrong there then. If you're going to pick one and, you know, take that as a hierarchy, then you're completely missing the point. And it's about feminism being all women are equal, whether that's BME, Muslim, white, Chinese, whatever. All women are equal. 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 All women are equal.
but it's also the equity point of view, that we're all at different points, starting points in your journey, or and your circumstances will shape. So even the three of us will have different points from where or how feminism, how we came about it, or how it's affected us, or what part of our journey we're on. So we're not on an equal footing when we start off. And I think that's the point that was being made earlier, is that white feminism and others, it's we're almost being othered. And that's really important to remember, that actually feminism is about including, being inclusive of all. It's a grey area, it's not black and white, but trying to, for a white organisation to come and explain it to a BME, you know, they have to tailor it to the audience, I suppose.
And that's where Amina, I think, come in, and that's what we're really strong at, is we speak the language of, in terms of we understand, and we'll use terminology and we'll talk in a language that they understand, whether that's Urdu, whether that's English, or whatever the terminologies that they feel comfortable with. And we provide that really safe space to really process their own thoughts and come to their own realizations in a way that they're comfortable with. Do you want to add to that?
Then it becomes an Amber property.